A third innovation is a change in tillage systems, including low-till or no-till systems. Tillage refers to the farmer's preparation of the soils for planting. Standard practices involve plowing the fields, digging up the soil to uproot weeds, and to prepare the physical site for seeding and application of fertilizer. Low-till or conservation tillage systems are ways to plant the seeds with zero or minimal plowing, and thereby accomplish several things. Soil moisture evaporation is reduced, soil structure is better maintained, and erosion is reduced. Animals in the soil that improve soil productivity, such as earthworms and arthropods, are left undisturbed to do their productivity-enhancing work. Low-till agriculture introduces problems as well, which must be addressed. Because the weeds are not destroyed by plowing, the crops may face increased competition with weeds. Farmers may also need special equipment to enable them to plant in untilled soil. The feasibility of conservation tillage must be examined in each context, and impoverished farmers may require special help to get started. In all of these cases, a price for use of water, together with a lifeline tariff, is needed to help induce farmers to shift from overuse of water supplies to sustainable use based on high crop-per-drop technologies. Just as with low-carbon technologies, it will be one thing to develop water-efficient seed varieties and more efficient irrigation methods, and quite another to have the technology widely accepted. To get these methods adopted in the place of unsustainable groundwater harvesting, for example, farmers will need to face a market incentive. For the poorest of the poor, this might be a subsidy or grant for the improved technology. For richer farmers, it should be the contrary, a price of water tariff that reflects the true social costs of drawing unsustainably on groundwater or river-based irrigation. Physical infrastructure. There will be no shortage of fresh water on the planet as long as we are ready to produce it from seawater and pay for it. Seawater can be turned into fresh water through desalination. Advances in desalination technology, such as the reverse osmosis method, have dramatically lowered the costs of desalination compared with traditional distillation. Of course, desalination requires energy, and lots of it. That's why the hope for a radical cut in overall global energy use is unrealistic, since we will need more energy, not less, to solve crucial challenges such as water security. Still, by harnessing wind, solar, or hydropower for desalination, it might be possible to bolster water supplies on a large scale cleanly and inexpensively. Unfortunately, desalination is likely to be economical only near coasts and near major energy sources, such as Middle East oil. Desalination is unlikely to provide much relief for inland and especially highland regions because of the high costs of pumping water. Physical infrastructure can also play a pivotal role in water storage, at the scale of farm ponds for small farms to giant water reservoirs along major rivers. With increasing rainfall variability likely in the years ahead and the end of reliable glacier melt, there will be an extra economic benefit to water storage and availability of irrigation potential during droughts and dry spells. Rainfall insurance. Another potentially beneficial tool will be financial rather than physical. Rainfall insurance, or technically a weather-linked derivative, is a financial instrument to help insure against drought. The insurance company sells a bond that pays nothing in the event of a normal rain and pays a high amount in the event of a drought. The price of the bond reflects the probability of the drought and the size of the payout in the event that it occurs. For example, the bond may cost $100,000 and pay $1 million in the event of a severe 1-in-10-year drought, but it pays nothing if the drought does not occur. A farm cooperative might buy such a bond to insure its members against a crop failure due to drought. While markets will provide these insurance services in high-income settings, public finance may be necessary to provide rainfall insurance in the poorest countries.